Everybody Recruiting Animal here on May 22nd, 2012. May 22nd, 2012. Just quickly, I want to tell you about an article I was reading last week about dealing with a difficult boss. It said, she might be mean. She might criticize you in public. She might not tolerate any feedback. But the advice was, you cannot win with a person like that. So the best thing to do is learn how to stay calm. Just learn how to stay calm. And you also have to realize that you cannot count on your colleagues to support you against the boss. No matter how bad she is, they have to watch out for their own jobs, and they're not going to stick their necks out for you. So often the best thing to do is just leave. But then you start reading the career advisors, the job hunting coaches, and what do they say? They say when you go to an interview and they ask you why you want to move, don't say my boss is a nut. They'll think you're a troublemaker. So you have to pretend that everything is okay. It's like when you hear a eulogy at a funeral, you never know the guy had a bad temper. Somebody just winks sometimes and says, well, you know, sometimes things weren't always great, but they were pretty much of the time. Anyway, you see, the problem is these career advisors, they'll tell you not to lie on your resume, but only because it's easy to get caught. In fact, they don't care about honesty at all. It means nothing to them, nothing. They just want you to impress the interviewer, the employer, the hiring manager. And if the truth is dangerous, you better put on your game face and lie. That's the message. Put your best foot forward. Hide the rest. Also, I'm almost done. I was reading a book this week, and it said the problem with modern life is that we're too individualistic. But when your boss is a nut, and your colleagues won't support you, and your career coach tells you that you have to pretend everything is fine, don't you think you have a right to feel you're on your own? Don't you? Take a minute to think about that, and I'm going to give you an hour on Jerry Jerry. What show is this?
This is the Recruiting Animal
today. I have to be a little quiet. I'm feeling constrained because I have company here. Usually, I've got the studio to myself.
You have company in the studio?
Yeah.
Hey,
company
Animal?
I don't want. What?
Animal? It's actually the 23rd of May today.
Oh, geez. You know, I'm screwing up the date all the time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Thanks for telling me, Cora. Yeah, sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to move on to my guest. Sammy Fiorella. Sam Fiorella, are you there?
Good afternoon. I am here.
A little louder. Are you on a cell phone?
No, I am on my landline, but I can certainly speak louder for you.
Okay. You know, it's got a bit of a warble. I know you're in Toronto. It's far away, but I should be able to hear you. Okay. Did you bring a song?
I didn't bring a song. I didn't want to subject your people to that annoying.
Sammy, come on. You said you have no shrinkage problem. That means you have guts. Come on.
Pardon?
No song. Do you know Buffalo Soldier by Bob Marley?
I know the song, yes. I'm not sure that I could recite the lyrics for you.
Okay, the lyrics of the refrain is oy 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 oy.
Yeah, I remember that.
Seriously?
So, that's it. I used to hear it in Starbucks every morning. I mean, like, a moron could do it. You can't tell me you can't do that, Sammy, okay? Anybody else with us?
There's
a lot of people here. Who else wants to sing? Maureen? Is Maureen here? Cora, are you going to sing?
Actually, if I sang, everyone would hang up.
Okay. Sam, okay, we're going to go now. This is your chance, okay? Ready? One,
I'm
two,
four.
Three. Great. Okay.
Okay, I take it back. I could have sang.
You could have sung that. Okay, Sammy, I got one more question for you just before we get started. How come you didn't read the instructions I sent you? I begged you to read them, okay? And this morning you were asking me questions that are just there. They're smacking you in the face in the instructions. What did I do wrong? I want to know for the other guests. Please tell me.
Well, this is what you did wrong. You asked me to read the instructions about 2 weeks ago when you invited me on the show, which I did back then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But it's 2 weeks. I mean, I don't remember what I did yesterday.
And you couldn't go back and look at them today. You couldn't think, hey, you know, maybe he gave me that information already. I read all your LinkedIn endorsements. All they do is praise you, right? They didn't say if you give the guy something today, he's going to forget it tomorrow.
That's called selective editing.
Okay, Sammy, I'm going to introduce you. You know, usually I leave it to the person, and they always do a bad job. Sam was written up in Wired magazine. That's how I found out about him. So I've condensed what they said about him. Sam Fiorella was recruited for a VP position in a large marketing agency. With 15 years of experience consulting for major brands, Sam felt confident. But when they asked him for his clout score, he just sat there puzzled. He didn't have a clue. What's that? He said. The interviewer showed him. His score was 34. They kicked him out and hired a 67. Sammy was stung, but he worked hard and raised his score to 72. And as his score rose, so did the number of job offers and speaking invitations. 15 years of accomplishments weren't as important as that score. Sammy moans. Is that the story, Sam? Is that it in a nutshell?
In a nutshell, that's it.
Great story.
How did they find you for that Wired article? How did you get that kind of publicity?
Well, my ego usually precedes me, but I think they read a few blog posts that I had written on the subject over the course of the last couple of months. But then most recently, Mark Schaefer wrote a book called Return on Influence, in which that story is featured in the first chapter.
How did he find you? How did he find you?
From what I understand, again, he and I had been following each other on Twitter for quite some time. He read one of my blog posts, saw that I heard my story, and then decided to interview me for his book.
And was that a really good thing for you, this kind of – you got on the Recruiting Animal show, but has it you know, brought you success in any other way?
Well, other than, you know, this, which I consider the pinnacle of my career, no, not really. You know, actually, in a way, it's bothered me. A couple of your fans were tweeting, oh, Sam Fiorella, it's the clout guy.
Yeah, right. Well, that's who you are now. Okay, I'll move on. I'm dragging it out here. Why did they need somebody with clout?
You know what? I don't think they did. As it turned out, the guy that they hired with a higher clout score than me, from what I'm told, only lasted 6 weeks, and they replaced him.
Really?
I don't think they knew any better.
But why did they think they needed somebody with clout?
The impression that I got from the call that I made afterwards when I was told that I wasn't getting the second interview was that they wanted somebody who, with a perceived better understanding of social networks and social marketing that they thought my clout score didn't tell them that I had.
Uh-huh. But they thought that 67 guaranteed that in the other person. Is that right?
That's exactly it. They put their faith in the score.
Okay, so the clout score doesn't mean that much. That's your whole shtick now, isn't it?
Well, I figured I might as well wear it as a badge of honor as opposed to hide from the clout guy.
Yeah, okay, so just come on, let's get rolling. You know, I read all your endorsements. They said you're really engaging. You haven't shown it yet on this show, okay?
Hey, I just sang for you. What more do you want?
I didn't drag it out of you. And that idiot who's making the noise there, stop it, okay? I had enough.
Jeez, man.
You
okay,
shut everybody
Sam.
Down.
Yes. Sam, I asked you a question, didn't I?
What was the question?
Okay, let's go. Let's shift. You know, in this article, there was all kinds of stuff about clout that I don't know. It said at the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, clerks look up your clout score when you check in, and the people with the higher scores get better rooms. Is that true?
I don't have personal confirmation, but yes, it's been written in a dozen blogs and newspaper articles. There are, there's also airlines now that are, I think it's Cathay Pacific, that's giving certain people free access to their airport lounge if their clout score is over 40.
You know what? My clout score is 62 or 63, and I don't get any offers, but you said it's
hey,
admired that you...
Animal.
What?
You have to leave your house to get clout.
Look, if they gave me some offers,
I'm
going to
benefit from the airport VIP club clout.
Jerry, have you got any offers? Has anybody on the show, there's about 10 people here alive, anybody get any offers from clout? I did get that offer for a free flight to California when Virgin Airlines opened that route. But since then, there's nobody knocking my door down. But it said in the article, Sammy, that you get offers regularly, and also that you got a lot more job offers when you're kicked up your clout score. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. I mean, I got, as it turns out, none of the offers nor the job offers, the perks or the job offers, sorry, were really worth anything. But I certainly got all kinds of attention. I got a box of pop chips, which was really, really exciting mail to my house.
Yeah?
A whole box. I got
Scrubby Rudiman, Animal. Scrubby Rudiman got, I think it was some shampoo.
Yeah?
Hey, Animal, I got some Axe body spray.
Nice.
What's wrong with me? How come I don't get?
Because you're in Canada.
It was
maybe
the recruiter that tweeted they got to drive the Chevy for
this
3 days.
This guy's in my city. This guy Sammy lives here as well. Okay, Sam, tell us about one of the jobs you were offered. How did they find out that you had a high clout score, first of all? How did you raise your clout score? Why don't you tell everybody that?
Right,
and
well,
you know,
those,
Sam, you're Italian. You're supposed to be lively if we're going to be diverse and go by stereotypes. Show it a little on the show. Show it for me, will you?
Yeah,
lay
not a problem.
All out
I can
there.
Start. You know what's funny? My background is Italian, but I can't speak in an Italian accent if my life depended upon it.
Okay,
let me tell you how
I
did raise my score, though, because I think that's really an important story for everybody listening. It's quite easy to raise your clout score. You basically change the way you communicate online. You follow people who have a higher clout score than you. You unfollow people who have a lower clout score than you. You focus 10 to 15 hours a day trying to get on the radar of those people who have a higher score than you, talking about what they want to talk about, and it goes up.
This
give
would be if you're unemployed, though,
give
right?
Give us what
well,
you say,
of course
Jared?
It means you're unemployed. Of course
he
it means
was
who
unemployed,
else would
remember?
Have that kind of time? It's stupid.
Okay.
It
well,
is
how
stupid.
Did you do? No, how do you tell us how you did it? So you just went and deleted all your friends from Twitter or something like that? Is that what happened?
No, what I did is I did delete a lot of people, but not as many as probably Clout or Peer Index or any of the others would have liked me to do. What I was doing is I was creating lists. I created lists of people who were influential on certain topics, who had very high Clout scores, and I did whatever I could to get on their radar.
Give us an example. Tell us a story. Remember, I just posted on Twitter that somebody endorsed you for having lots of examples. That's how you engage the audience. Please, I'm begging you, engage my audience. Tell some stories.
Fair enough. Audience, listen to this. I wanted to get on a panel on a social media speaking gig, and there was a panel on LinkedIn. So I took a look at who was influential on LinkedIn and this type of work. And Vivica von Rosen, who everybody knows is very popular, has a very high clout score, had a very high clout score at the time. I haven't checked recently. And so I made an effort to be wherever she was. If she was
on a
panel,
second.
I would follow her.
You just said something. You said you looked on LinkedIn to see who was popular on LinkedIn. There's no popularity rating on LinkedIn.
No, I looked online to see who was popular on LinkedIn.
I don't
and what
get
I found
what does that
when
mean?
I,
does how'd you do that?
Does anybody
did
understand
do
what he's saying? Yeah.
Well, what it
what
means
mean?
Is you take a look at who's being. Yeah, it's how many connections do you have? What's the person's clout score? I went to Clout, and I looked up her score. I noticed that she had a very high clout score, which would influence mine, and so
what's
I
very
reached
high?
Out my engagement.
What's very high? What's very high?
Well, for her at the time, I believe it was over 65. I don't remember exactly now. This is going back quite a while.
Okay.
Was
and
this before they changed the clout algorithm, though? Okay. You know what I'm talking
about? Well, they've changed it 3 or 4 times now, yeah.
Yeah, so like a 65 might now be a 42.
Well,
kind of like how
Canadian
money
possible.
Used to be worth like $1.50 in exchange rate, but now
you know,
it's
Jerry,
pretty even.
Do me a favor. Let the guy tell his story before you butt in, okay?
Hey, why don't you just fire me right now?
Fire.
Is that where you want to go with this?
Fire. Are we getting paid for this?
Sam, it's hard enough to get him to tell it, okay? So let him, when he starts...
So I was just asking when this big clout score was. Is that a reasonable question?
No. Let it go, okay?
Shove it.
Sam, continue the story, okay?
Fair enough. That was pretty much the end of the story. What happened was I reached out to her. I started engaging with her.
Reach out
and
is
we
not
engaged.
Accepted. Go ahead.
Reach out, engage? No? All right. Well, then I started tweeting with her. I started putting stuff out there. I started commenting on her blogs. I started forwarding her information.
Yeah.
And she started responding to some of the things that I said. And because of her
why?
Clout score
are you especially
high,
bright and interesting? Like, why did she respond to you instead of saying, who's this pest?
Persistent.
Well, I think it's what happens a lot of times is if you want to get people to respond to you, you either have to suck up to them. I know that's a big word for you. You suck up to them, which is really what a lot of Twitter engagement is all about.
Yeah.
Or you criticize them, one or the other, and you're going to get a response. So if you want to play the game, it's easy. You just got to learn to do one of those two things with influential people.
Uh-huh.
My score went up, and all of a sudden I got asked to be on a panel on LinkedIn at a conference here in Toronto as a result of that increased score.
The Geek Conference, is that the one, the Geek one?
It was called the Social Media for Dummies, funny enough. It was here in Toronto last June. I didn't end up attending because I ended up having a better offer. But the point is you can increase it, and if you really want to, of course, now it doesn't bother me at all because I've completely opted out.
Can you give us an example of a tweet where you criticize someone and you got a good response? Because I didn't even criticize somebody last week, a reporter or a columnist on Business Insider, and she sent me a tweet. She said, you don't usually get a response if you're negative. This is a very rare juncture, she called it, Vivian Jiang. I sent her a note. I didn't criticize you. I criticized the guy she was writing about. So, like, how do you criticize someone and get them to like you or boost your score?
Well, I think there's a lot of people out there that take that. I don't take that approach because it's just not the type of person that I am. But I know there's one guy online right now. His name is Dan Perez. He's a very popular blogger. He's an award-winning filmmaker in South Florida. I've been chatting with him for many years. He takes a contrarian approach to everything, and he will criticize anybody and anything and say, well, I'm calling you out on that. I don't believe that. That's BS, and here's why. Oh, don't tell me you're going to use that word again. Get off it. And you take a look at his following, and he's got, I think, 5,000 or 6,000, 7,000 followers now, and it's a growing number because of that approach.
Controversial. Yeah. That's just like some newspapers.
Huh. Some guy going around saying stuff's BS, huh?
How did you do it?
Aside from the list that I already told you about, creating lists of people who are more influential than me, I started participating in a lot of Twitter chats. There's a Twitter chat going on almost every day. So if you want to get the number of retweets up, follow a couple of Twitter chats, and I was doing 2 or 3 a day for the course of about 3 months at one point.
Uh-huh.
And I was just putting stuff out there that I thought people would really respond to.
Like real obvious stuff?
Yeah, a lot of it was obvious, and I was cringing every time I posted it, but it worked.
Yeah, so do you have to be, like, stupid to get retweeted, or do you have to put, you know, unique stuff there? Like, not, you know, what kind of stuff were you doing? Is it because you have a special expertise that you were able to get all these retweets?
Well, yeah, I'd like to think so. I think maybe the people following me might give you a different story, but I was purposely picking subject matters or chats that on Twitter that I had some familiarity with or that I knew the subject matter well. I was tweeting was things that I thought were basic, but to the audience in that group, it was something, you know, earth-shattering and marvelous.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to put anybody down, but
okay. Now, but what kind of retweet? What counts for? Is it the automatic just click on retweet, or is it better if they do it manually and say RT Sam Fiorella? Does it make any difference? Are they both registered?
No, I don't believe it makes a difference. But the exact algorithm that companies like Clout use is proprietary, and as somebody else said earlier, it's changing all the time. So the supposed standard of influence is clearly not perfect because they got to keep fixing it.
Hey, here's an interesting example of that, Animal. Stacey Zappar, who talked with you yesterday, tweeted that her clout score jumped up by like 20 points just from interacting with you yesterday.
Yeah, but she was joking. She was mad at me. You don't know that, I guess. Okay. Because I RT'd her the way she didn't like. Anyway, okay, so you are now off Clout. You don't believe in Clout at all. Is that just to be distinctive and different, or is there a reason you're not on Clout anymore, Sammy?
Well, the reason that I got off initially was, as soon as they gave you the option, because originally you didn't have the option. So when I found out that people were judging me for a score, I purposely went out of my way to increase it, because I figured if I'm going to have a score, I'm going to have the best frickin' score I can possibly have. Then, you know, when I realized that I was changing the way that I was talking to people or the way that I was being social online, I started to hate myself for it, to be quite honest with you. But you had to do it. As a marketer, which I am, I make a living out of that. I have to have, you know, you got to have a good score. So when
I
the,
have
Animal. Anybody, just one sec. Anybody willing? I can tell you all your Clout scores because I just put a Firefox ad on for Clout, and I can see everybody. Shannon Myers.
Has mine
said
gone
something.
Down
yes.
lower than 28?
I don't know. Shannon is 40. Maureen is 40. Chris Fleek is 40. Kathy Mann is 56. Jessica Merrill, 68. I think she's very high. Nick Palmer, you're so low, Dr. Nick. I won't tell you what you got.
27 or something, 25.
Yeah, well, none of them will be
29.
Lower than me. So.
He's 29. Okay, so but how are you off? You are still on Clout. They still measure you, don't you? You're not
well,
really
of
off their
do.
Radar.
Of course they do. No, you know what? Because you got to think about it. None of you can be – they can't determine how influential you are unless they know everybody that you talk to. So I have no doubt that they're still tracking what I'm saying, but because I opted out, they don't have the authority anymore according to their own privacy policies. I guess, you know, I'm not 100% sure what the laws are around this.
Okay, let me
look. They show me as a zero.
You're getting boring, okay? Let me guide you. On Clout, on the article, in the Wired article, it said that the companies – they look for people who've got high Clout scores, and they give them free stuff for product trials so that they'll promote it to their – nobody ever comes to me with that stuff. I mean, who are these people who get these offers? I want to know. How do I get that?
There must be some kind of a filter. You've got to have a high Clout score, and you can't be really annoying to somebody.
I thought you were going to be a livelier speaker. That was a lame joke, okay?
I liked it. There you go. Not bad.
Okay. Let me see. Yeah, you've got some complaints about – okay, you know what? You've got some complaints about – anything else you want to say about Clout that you think we should know? You told us, get rid of your friends. Suck up, you know, pester the people with high scores. Go to a lot of chats. You know, Bill Borman, he's in every chat. Neil Schaefer, he's in every chat. They must have high scores. And is there anything else we should do to raise our score? And is there any way as recruiters it can help us? I don't see it. Do you?
No, I don't believe that a marketing influence measurement, especially one that's as flawed as what Clout is of any value to a recruiter. In fact, I would say, well, you know what? If you look at it from the opposite way, it might be. Anybody who spends that much time online, especially if they've got a job, I would really question how dedicated they are to their job.
I agree. You know what? I have a question, though. This whole thing is so flawed. Why didn't you sue the employer? I mean, this doesn't comply with OFCC.
Jesus, you can tell you're from California. Why don't you sue somebody?
Yeah, Canadians don't sue that
either. I've been getting such a hassle about that since that Mick Jagger Saturday Night Live skit. It's like my voice is being made fun of so badly. But anyway, I want to know why he didn't sue. I mean, it doesn't comply with OFCCP.
I mean, who is clout? It's so random. I mean, this whole thing, it affected your career. And I'm really serious. Why didn't you do something about it?
Well, you know what? I actually don't feel that it impacted my career. Not too long after that, I got an even better job than I would have had there, that I'm very happy with, making more money than I would have been making over there. So it really didn't impact me. Plus, it finally got me onto the animal show.
Yeah, but I think that kind of needs to be held accountable.
Well,
yeah.
You know what?
Have you seen this guy's Twitter picture? Under it, it says, my clout score equals zero, like he's not playing this for as much as he can. You know what? Kathy, hold on a second. Let's shift this. I'll follow your lead, but let's talk about Repify. Repify checks you out online. They look for a professional footprint, and then they report it. They pull data from LinkedIn, from Facebook, from Twitter, from GitHub, and they come up with what they call a job fit score, and they send that to the hiring manager. And there's another little wrinkle here that's very interesting. When they do that, they'll send you, when the hiring manager asks for them to get a report on you, they send you an email, and they tell you what they're doing, and they said, look, this is your chance to give us more access to your information to boost your reputation. Just like National Enquirer, when they're doing an expose, they say, we're going to write this about you. This is your chance to put your own, you know, 2 cents in, and they extort information from you that way. So then they come up with some kind of score. Are you familiar with that, Sammy? Do you know anything about Repify and those kind of professional clout influence raters?
Yeah, there's a couple of tools out there like that. You know, the clouts and the peer indexes, they're typically marketing-based influence, so-called influence measurement scores. But Identified, Branch Out, Repify, those ones are targeting HR professionals specifically. But the same, I would have the same warning for anybody using those, both the people who buy into it and the brands who subscribe to it. It's a complete house of cards. Anybody can game any one of those systems. If I want to be known on my Facebook page as somebody who's an expert in internet marketing, well, then I'm just going to purposely post all kinds of crap about internet marketing to elevate a score. It really doesn't hold any water, and it just makes
you know what? I think it's harder than you're saying to get a lot of interaction and influence with an online community. It's just not that easy. Okay, so
now,
to make
you know
yourself
really
out to be
is.
An expert. It really is. Is that what you're saying?
It really is easy. If you put the time into it, that's all it takes. It just takes having the time to do it. I did it in 3 months. I went from a 34 to a 72.
Uh-huh. Okay.
In three
now,
months. People have done it faster.
One more thing about this. You told us on Twitter today that going off the grid, you can shut out Repify and all these other tools by going totally private on all your accounts. But you said going off the grid today is not an option. What you have to do is understand who's collecting the information, who they're sharing it with, and try to manage it. How can you do that?
Well, we just keep running into catch-22s. You have to be online. You have to be online to know who's talking about you and what people are saying about you.
Yeah.
What you do online is your personal brand reputation. And I think everybody needs to look at themselves as that brand. The problem I have with these third-party tools is that they're creating an impression about you that isn't necessarily accurate. So you've got to go out of your way, in my opinion, to establish what that brand is yourself. And, you know, where you can get rid of those types of influencers that can be really subjective.
What do you mean?
Well, you take a look at clout. For a while when I was on clout, at one point I was influential on pink socks. That was one of the things that they claimed I was an expert in, and I've never used the term pink socks in a tweet.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, they're inaccurate is the point. So they're saying that I am an expert in something or that I'm influential in something that I'm not.
Yeah.
And conversely, they're indicating that they're hiding the fact that I am an expert potentially in something else.
Right.
So they create an impression about you that's going
well,
to
how do you deal
at
with
some
that?
Point
you
impact
said manage
how much money
it.
You make.
How do you manage it? How do you manage it? You want me to ask again?
No.
Sorry, what was the question?
I'm keeping track of how many times you ask a question. So keep asking.
That's essentially it.
Answer it.
Len Fardella, I'm going to just call out some clout scores. Len Fardella, you're a 40. Kathy, I said you're a 56. Daryl Disco, you're a 50, just if you didn't check it recently. Okay, you, Mitch Sullivan, 42 only. Uh-oh, hold on, I got to tell you. C Sweat is 18. That's the lowest. We had to give a prize to the lowest. Okay, sorry, how do you manage that? Did you come up with an answer? Did I give you enough time to think?
No, you manage it simply by ensuring that the content that you put out there accurately reflects who you are and that you unsubscribe from any other service that will arbitrarily score you.
Yeah, but they'll score you even if you're not subscribing. They'll score you anyway, right?
Well, they'll score you anyway, but they can't necessarily, or not necessarily, they can't share that information with anybody if you opt out of their service.
What does that mean? Does
anybody understand
that?
I'm sure it's scoring me right now.
Does anybody want to ask him a question? Go ahead. Anybody?
So if I don't do anything but check on cloud and follow all these people and try to engage them, my cloud score is going to, jump up to, I don't know, something probably respectable because it's only 28.
Well,
I work all day.
Well, and that's the thing. Do you really care?
No, I don't even care, but I think it's kind of
funny. How about a unique question? Cora, that wasn't a good question.
That kind
okay.
of sucks, Cora.
I'm going to try it out and see if it works.
Okay, I'm not going to go a bit. If somebody's got to say something, just shout it out, and I'll give you time. I can't keep pausing with these dead silences, encouraging people to ask questions that have already been covered. I'm sorry, Cora, but I'll ask them an offbeat question just to give you guys time to think. About branding, are you listening to me, Sammy?
I am listening.
If you're an Indian recruiter and your name is Harshit, okay, A-R-S-H-I-T, should you change your name?
You know what? No, I wouldn't. I would wear it as I would wear it as a badge.
I
would
know.
Make
not
it
me.
An effort.
No, not me. I think that is terrible. And Daryl Disco, after we discussed it before on an earlier show, he said he went after that guy on Facebook to warn him that he's, you know, making a mistake. I didn't hear back, so I assume nothing happened. But everybody agreed with me, and they never agree with me about anything.
I'll disagree with you there, especially us here in Canada. We're not supposed to pay attention to that kind of stuff. We embrace diversity over here.
Yeah, okay.
I have a question.
You just went down a few points in my score, okay?
I have a question,
that was
animal.
A dumb answer. Okay, I'm going to go on to talk about recruiting.
I just said I have a question.
Wait, somebody had a question.
Go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead.
Okay, as you spent these 2 or 3 months seeking out influential or high clout scored, high follower people, engaging with them for 10 and 14 hours a day, how did you do it? I mean, what were you talking to these people about? Was it just topics that you didn't even care about, but you were connected with influential people just because you thought
you
needed to?
Listen,
how
Jerry,
did you do it?
He told us already.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I talked about, I tweeted with them what they wanted to tweet about, what they were.
Yeah, I guess
about.
I'm asking, how was your mindset during that time of tweeting about stuff you didn't really care about? How did you feel about doing that?
Mind-numbing. I hated it, and I hated myself for doing it. But I knew that I had to do it if I wanted to get my score up.
Okay.
There wasn't an option.
Okay, now I've got a topic for Jerry. If he would just be quiet for a minute. You dislike online communities. You see, we are always talking about talent communities, but you think online communities are garbage. You shouldn't waste your time trying to put them together. You should just piggyback on some other established professional communities or target markets. Is that am I saying what you believe correctly, Sammy?
Yes. You're saying it correctly.
Okay, so these companies these days are trying to create these talent communities, people who are just so interested in them that they talk with each other about company XYZ, and they talk to the company about themselves. Is it a waste of time to, you know, developing this kind of online community, or is it better off to go, you know, to some place where these Java developers or accountants already congregate and just contribute to their existing networks?
That's a great question. In fact, you must have read the blog post that I wrote last week, because that's exactly what I talk about. I personally believe that it's more valuable to a recruiter, to any brand in general, to actually get out there and surf the communities that your audience is already participating in, because that's where you'll get a true sense of who they are and what they're saying and what they know. If you try and create an online community of your own, people are coming there to essentially pitch themselves to you. And while there could be some merit in that, they're basically gaming the system. I'd rather go and eavesdrop on what they're saying elsewhere to get a better representation of who they are. Make sense?
Anybody want to talk to him about that?
Great point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good point.
Okay. Now, you're also against employee branding or using employees to create an employment brand for the company. Am I right about that?
No. I think
yes, I am.
No, you're not. An employer, or sorry, employees are the brand's biggest, I think, resource. They're the ones who are.
I read your blog, and you think they're the company's biggest danger as well. One misstep by an employee, and it could cost all kinds of brand damage and financial damage to the company, right or wrong.
Oh, no, there's no question. A single individual can really do damage towards sales or a brand, no question. But they're also your biggest resource if you know how to leverage them well. If you can create enablement policies on and educate people and encourage them on how to use the medium properly, give them the tools, as opposed to creating punitive social media policies that tells them how they're going to get their asses fired if they do this, this, and this, you know, you can actually create quite a powerful tool for yourself.
You want to explain a little more? Want to go on a little
sure.
more?
Yeah, a lot of organizations right now, what they'll do in creating social media policies, and I'm sure, you know, the group here probably have better examples than I have.
Yeah, just get to the point.
We'll create a policy that says, you know, you cannot use our brand name as your employer on your Facebook page. You cannot talk about customer service, or you cannot talk about a particular product launch or product development or what you're doing on social networks. And if you do, you will be fired. Other organizations that I'm working with right now myself, even though I'm not in the recruiting or in the HR industry specifically, but in the realm of social media, we're consulting them to create educational policies. We call them enablement policies. Every employee is essentially a brand advocate. We give executives media training to understand how to deal with situations like this where you're being interviewed. Why aren't we giving employees media training when they're engaging in social networks? Isn't that also a medium? So if you can give them that training and give them the encouragement to get out there, they're not going to cower under their desks with the fear of being fired if they say the wrong thing.
Okay,
they're
what
be
if
empowered
you train them?
To say the right
what
thing.
If you train them? What if you train them and they do say the wrong thing? Should they get fired?
Punch them in the face.
Yeah, I would rather just punch them in the face, give them a warning.
Mm-hmm. But tell us a story about how someone can cause damage to the company by saying the wrong thing.
Well, you know what's funny? It's not even about saying the wrong thing. It could be about doing the wrong thing. Not that long ago, there was that huge viral video that came out where some UPS guy threw a computer over a wall because nobody was answering the door at the gate. It happened to get caught on video. The homeowner's camera at their door caught it. And think about the damage that did to UPS's brand.
Yeah, you know what? It's a funny story, but it's a completely different thing. You didn't answer my question. I'm going to have to go to an ad because I want to talk about my friend at jobspeak.com. Jobspeak.com, JOBSPEEK.com. Jobspeak.com is a free app. It lets you post your job to Facebook and Twitter. I think you can post a little audio about it as well and a picture of the company. Jobspeak.com, Jobspeak.com. Do you want to do an ad for our friends at TempWorks, Jerry?
I can't right now.
Okay, if you want to, Jerry's an IT contract recruiter.
That's what I do.
He sends out programmers to work on contract at his client companies. If you'd like to set up your own business just like Jerry, you can go to TempWorks.com because, you see, Jerry has to pay the guys every week to work at that company where he places them.
Or biweekly.
He's got to cover their salaries, their comp, until he gets paid by his client. How are you going to do that if you set up shop tomorrow? I'm going to tell you how. You go to TempWorks.com, and they'll become your financial partner. They'll give you the money. They'll give you all the software to run your business with as well. Thank you, TempWorks.com. Now, Sammy, back to you. Do you want to plug anything while you're here? I'll give you a chance.
You know what? Sure. I'll plug Wednesday nights tonight. Every Wednesday night, I am the moderator of Biz Forum. It's a chat, so if you want to get your clout score up, there's a perfect opportunity for you. And it's a Twitter's, what we call Twitter's first online debate, where every week we're debating various trending business topics. So it's between 8 and 9 Eastern Standard Time.
On Twitter, it's not
Forum,
Eastern Standard Time anymore. It's just Eastern Time. It's just Eastern Time. Standard Time ended a little while ago, okay? What's the hashtag? What's the hashtag, Sammy? Come on.
It's hashtag BizForum, BizForum.
Now he goes Canadian on me. They don't know what a Z is.
Do you have to spell Z-E-D?
Yeah, well, you can. It's not going to get you anywhere. That's B-I-Z or B-I-Z, whatever you prefer, Forum.
Okay. Now, well, last question about this employee branding. Why do you think they're such a great resource? What do you mean when you say that?
Well, the way I look at it is that if an employee who has the or that consumers would think have the inside track on a company, if they're talking positively about your brand and about working there and about what you represent, that's going to mean more to potential customers than other customers saying how great you are because they like your product.
Why?
So
there's a credibility there. If I work for a company, I can't say the truth. I can't say anything that's true. I'll get fired if it's negative. In fact,
then you have a bigger problem.
A lot of people work for companies that make stuff that people don't even talk about anyway. Oil drums, lids, steel rebar, springs, wire harnesses, wheels. So this deal of people talking about your product, very few people actually go around talking about how cool it is, this pallet company that they work with. They make the coolest pallets in the world. So I believe a lot of that is complete crap.
No, I'm going to disagree with you. There are people out there talking about every product, every brand. The size of that community differs. I work with an engineering company right now that's probably great product but incredibly boring. Yet they do a lot of trade publications. They write articles in trade publications. They speak at industry conferences. Now, albeit it's not as big as, you know, some huge social media conference in Austin every year, South By, but it is an audience, right? So
I'm just talking, by and large, day in, day out, employees at the whatever company that is, they're not talking about working there. They're not talking about their products. They're on the Internet talking about their latest camping trip or the NBA playoffs. They're not talking about your product. It's a farce.
Sammy, give me a break. I got something I've been holding for a while. You remember Robert Scoble when he was working?
Don't tell us about it.
When he was working, working at Microsoft, the big deal with him was that he actually criticized Microsoft products. That was a revelation. Here's a guy who works for the company and tells you what he really thinks. That's why he became so famous, and he was an asset to the company because people felt, you know, they could trust what was going on. No other company wants that. He was very unique. Am I right, Sammy? You're not going to get truth listening to the employees unless it's offline after a few Jack Daniels, okay?
Well, no, I think you are going to get truth. It may not be the truth that you want to, you know, as a brand people talking about, but people do talk about it. I think, yeah, I have somebody here, a nurse. Actually, the nurse that was supposed to be delivering my daughter when it was time a number of years ago, they went on Twitter and they complained about how the doctors at their hospital hated the staff, hated the patients, and it's a horrible place to work. But we decided to not have our baby there and go to another hospital as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
So people will, even if it's in, you know, just one day they had a bad day at work or they had a problem with somebody, they're going to talk about their employer or their job satisfaction, even if they're not talking about the product specifically.
Yeah, and if her company caught her talking like that, what would happen to her tomorrow? Yeah, really. You know what? I'm just going to shift. I'm going to lighten things up for a minute. Gautam Ghosh, a friend of ours in Asia, in India, he's the most famous social media HR guy in India. he posted a list of special words, and some of them are appropriate for this show, and they're diverse as well, so I just thought I might introduce some of them. Bakushan is Japanese, and it means a girl who's beautiful when viewed from behind. We don't have a word like that in English, right?
Yeah, I don't know of one.
Okay, and here's a pochka-mochka is Russian. It means a person who asks a lot of questions. We have those, right?
Yeah, you.
Okay, let's go. Have I not covered, is there anything about social media that I haven't covered yet? Because I wanted to talk to you about your experience with recruiters as well.
You're asking me that question now?
Oh, you're the guest, aren't you?
Well, I didn't know who the question was directed to. There's lots of people here.
Yeah.
No, I think the one thing, though, that we do have to acknowledge, maybe the one thing that I'll throw out there, is that whether you like tools like Clout or Repify or any of the others, they're not going away. I've taken the stance of opting out. I'm trying to take control of my influence and dictate what it is and what people perceive it to be. But the reality is that this is always going to be around. I think we need to try and educate brands, recruiters or marketers as to how to read these, how to use them. It is a game. You have to understand that it's a game, and you have to understand that people play the game. So don't be lazy. Don't use those tools as a crutch. Use them as one data point, but don't stop thinking. Don't stop doing your job.
Okay, great.
That's a point
Thanks
that really
very much.
Needs to be made.
Thanks very much. Okay, enough of that. Do you hear me, resume strategy? Enough of that, Sammy. I heard enough of that. I want to talk about recruiters. Resume strategy has a Clout score of 60. That's pretty good. Okay. Now, how did this recruiter approach you on that job? That you were sent there by a recruiter, am I right?
No, I was not sent there by a recruiter. I was actually reached out to by the HR person at the company.
You didn't read the
directly.
Section on animal bad words, did you? Even though I sent you the full slew of URLs. Okay, reach out is a bad word. You don't use it on this show. Somebody called you, right, or emailed you? Am I right about that?
Somebody emailed me. That is correct.
Okay, from within the company.
From within the company, it was the HR person within that company.
Okay, Okay,
they found me on LinkedIn.
Oh, really? And have you ever dealt with a recruiter?
Actually, during that same period, I was working with a recruiter here in Toronto, yes.
And how did you establish a contact? Did you call him or her, or did she call you?
I reached out to them. We were both presenting at a conference. We were both presenting at a conference. He gave me a business card. And when I was in need, I gave him a call, set up a meeting.
What'd you say to him?
I told him that he had to find me a job.
Why were you out of a job? Did you tell him you hated your last boss? Your boss was a nut?
I told him that I was very unsatisfied where I was and I needed to get out and quick.
And what did he say to you?
Well, he did what I'm supposing, I don't know, what I think a lot of recruiters will say, goes, oh, you're easily hireable. We'll be able to find you a job in no time. Your skill set is highly in demand.
Right.
I interviewed with him for 2 hours, and then I never heard from him again.
And you interviewed with him on the phone or in his office?
No, in his office. I spent 2 hours in his office.
Where was it? I'm in Toronto. I understand the geography. Where was it? What intersection?
It was right downtown, right across from Union Station.
Oh, okay. Well, the Royal York Hotel is where.
Union Station.
Okay, was it in that Royal Bank building? Where, it was up the tall building, a nice office?
No, other way, towards where, you know, where all the
Just was it a nice office? Was it glitzy? Did it look posh?
Nope.
Or was it a dump?
No, actually, it was a very nice office. It was a five-story older building right above the restaurants that are there.
So they put on a big show for you. That's all I'm trying. They tried to come off as they put on a big show. They're very professional. And you never heard from him again. Did you phone him up? Did you follow up?
I did. I sent him about 5 or 6 emails, and I left approximately 3 or 4 telephone messages in the weeks after that interview.
And what did you say in those emails, in those messages?
I told him that, hey, following up, we had a great conversation. You indicated that my skill set's in demand. Where are the opportunities? Call me back.
Does anybody have advice for this guy? What went wrong?
You didn't have to pay him, did you?
No, I didn't have to pay him anything.
Okay,
yeah,
there was a big scam up there in Canada with people paying for career coaches and stuff.
The recruiter spent 2 hours with him and then never called him back and didn't answer any of his messages. What happened? Cora, Al, anybody there got an opinion what was going on there? Sounds pretty wacky, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds wacky.
Yeah, I mean, but why would he spend that much time with him if he really had no use for him? Why wouldn't he call him back?
Probably not a very good recruiter. And, you know, he figures the longer the interview, he makes his boss look like he's working.
You know what? The thing is, though, Sammy actually met the guy at a conference. There must have been something about him that you like the guy, right, Sam?
Well, I like the guy. He's actually very, very connected on LinkedIn. He has a business that's been in operation for, I think, over 10 years at least.
I didn't know you were so naive. You're a 29, Cora, by the way.
I went up.
You know what? Connected on LinkedIn means nothing. I have thousands and thousands of connections. I don't know any of those people. It's useless. It's meaningless. Don't be so silly.
All this stuff is, dude. That's the thing, Animal. It's
but he comes on like a jaded person telling us what's wrong with stuff, and he's a sucker for numbers on LinkedIn. That's silly as can be. Okay, so how come you didn't call up another recruiter, Sammy? Why just one? Did you get a job by that time?
You know what? No, when I gave up on this guy, I didn't have the job yet, but I understood quickly that I would just have to take matters into my own hands, and I did. I just went out there and did the old-fashioned pavement pounding.
What does that mean?
I went through my Rolodex essentially, and I just started calling people. I'm looking for a job.
Hey, who's the
idiot
making noise on their? You know what? Don't grind on your phone while you're on this show, okay? Does it take a lot of brains to figure that out? Can't you hear the noise yourself? Okay, so you didn't look up some directory of companies like you, that might hire you. You just went through your existing address or contact manager, and who did you call in those companies? Someone who would be your boss or the hiring manager or the HR manager? Who'd you call there?
No, I actually called people that I knew, people that I had a physical conversation with or a business relationship at some point in the past, and I asked for a recommendation within their organizations.
What did you say exactly? I want to hear the words.
I'm sorry?
I want to hear the words.
What are the words that I use?
Yeah.
I said, I am looking for a job. It was that simple. I am looking for a job. Who can you recommend me to?
Yeah,
I can make it more flowery if you want.
No. So you called up somebody that you had not talked to for 6 months or 5 years, and you said, I remember me. I'm Sam Fiorella. I'm looking for a job. Is there somebody you can refer me to in your organization? Is that what you did? See, there's lots of people listening. There's people listening who don't know how to do it, Sammy. I want your wonderful experience to benefit them, and you have to spell it out for them. You have to spoon feed it to people, okay? Because they've never done it before. So share it, okay, in detail.
All right, that's all right. I can do that. What I did is I ended up categorizing everybody into the various types of jobs that they had, and then I ranked. These are the companies that I would most like to work with because they best suit my experience. I then just went through made a list and sat on the phone one day and made a bunch of telephone calls. People that I thought I had a better relationship with, I asked them out for coffee. Those that I had a more distant relationship with, I left it to a telephone conversation. And the types of things that I said are, hey, what's been up with, what have you been doing? What's been going on in your life? After listening to them for a little bit, I shared with them what my most recent experiences have been, the types of jobs that I've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the reaction that I got from them, I would say, well, you know what? I liked the projects that I was working on, but I hated the company. I'm looking to move. Do you know of anybody within your organization or outside of this organization that could use somebody like me? I would really appreciate a recommendation.
Did they feel at that point that you, did they feel used, like you didn't really care about what was going on in their lives, you just wanted to ask them to help you get a job, right? Why didn't you just say that right at the beginning?
Yeah, nobody actually said that to me, but it's quite possible.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's quite possible. But I don't think that they did because I'm relatively a social person anyway.
Okay.
These are type of conversation that I would have had otherwise.
Okay, so when you got the person's name inside the company, did you call that person yourself or did you wait for them to call them for you?
No. I always initiated the telephone call.
So,
you have
so
to
what
be
was
aggressive
the next,
at these
how,
things.
How did the next call sound? What was the next call? Because now you're calling someone you don't know.
Exactly. And in that case, I start off with, I was recommended to you by so-and-so. They told me that, you know, you might be interested or you might be looking for somebody to perform this type of a job. This is my story. This is who I am. I'd like to set up an interview and talk with you.
And what usually happened?
I would say 75% of the time they appreciated the fact that I was being aggressive and I asked for an interview without really knowing if for sure that they were hiring somebody or not. And I got the interview. The other 25% of the time, people were cordial and said, you know, that's great, but we're just really not looking for anybody right now.
Okay, did you leave voicemail?
75% of the time they responded.
Did you leave voicemail, yes or no?
Never.
Okay, when you introduced yourself to the stranger, what words did you use? Say, I'm a director of marketing with 15 years experience in such and such a field. What did you say exactly? How did you identify yourself?
After making reference to the recommendation and who referred me, I usually said that I am, my name is Sam Fiorella. I am vice president of internet strategy for this company. This is the type of work that I've been doing, and then I went through, you know, two or three key projects. I did it in about 60 seconds and then asked for an interview.
Mm-hmm. Anybody want to comment on that stuff?
Yeah, he didn't get an interview. He just got a little meeting, and they picked his brain.
Well, he got a job, Cora.
One of them, yeah.
What? Actually, Cora makes a good point. There was a couple of people there who clearly had no intention of hiring me, but understood my experience and thought that they could learn something from me. There was no question that was happening, but I had no problem with that.
Because you got the contacts. That's cool.
Well, yeah, because I eventually ended up getting something. But, you know, I really, my personal approach to these things, and anybody that reads my blog, you notice at the bottom, I always sign off with, feed your community, not your ego. I take a Socratic approach to the way that I engage. I try and educate as many people as I can with whatever little, you know, piece of information that I may possess. And I plan that that's going to come back. And it has. Every time I put something positive out there, I usually get it back, as zen as that may sound.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't sound zen to me. But listen, your Twitter name is Sam Fiorella, right? SamFiorella. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Do you have a website? What's your website?
It's senseiwisdom.com.
Oh, you do it. So sensei, isn't that a problem?
Sensei.
Lots of people, yeah, they don't know how to spell sensei. Sensei is a foreign word. Don't you can take that into consideration when you're branding?
You know what? Nobody has had a problem with it. No one has told me they have a problem with it.
Okay,
Google
well,
search
getting,
is fantastic
you know,
for that kind of stuff.
Okay, great.
People know
okay,
how to spell sensei.
Anything you want to say before? I've enjoyed talking to you, Sammy. I'm glad you came on the show. Anything else you want to say? Because we're going to the after show, and you and I are not allowed to participate in that. So you're going to have to hang up in a couple of minutes. Any last words you'd like to share with all the recruiters listening to you right now?
To you, thank you for having me on the show. It was a lot of fun. You were the first man to ever get me to sing in public, so I have to give you a lot of credit for your interview.
I had to drown you out. Okay, but go ahead. Thanks. Anything else? Is there anything real you'd like to say rather than these, you know, puffy things? A message? Do you have a motto aside from that last one you just gave us? Do you have a motto that represents your life or your profession?
Not my profession, but my life, and that is that life in general is a series of events between meals. If you live that way, you'll be happy.
Thank you! Oh, kiss me, baby, you're such a thing. Oh, love me, baby, you're such a thing. Come on, touch me, baby, you're such a thing. Oh, love
me, baby. Man.
Don't
know where to go.
My score went up just by having the show being here today.
Yeah. You know, Cloud is just plain stupid.
I know. I think of it as something being very stupid because it obviously doesn't affect my business at all, and it probably doesn't affect most people's.
You know, I read an article though on the guy that founded Cloud,
mm-hmm.
and it's kind of an ingenious idea. I mean, what he came up with. I mean, from the perspective of, let's say, you know, Virgin Airlines, they want to know who the top 50 people are that talk about air travel and who sucks and who to be on. So to pinpoint a few dozen people that they really ought to treat right,
mm-hmm.
that's cool. That makes sense.
Yeah, but, that's not bad.
But how it relates to employment just in general is absolutely stupid. It's unbelievable.
Hey, Jerry, this is David. I got to get going to another call, but can I just say a couple things and then
give
real quick?
Sure, man.
So I actually really enjoyed the show. I think it's unfortunate that the subject was clout because I really liked the guy. You know, I couldn't care less about the actual conversation, but, you know, every once in a while there was a couple of interesting little nuggets. I think that people in our space, like, when someone like the guy who founded clout starts talking about social and influence and all that stuff, he's talking about something and it's interesting, but what makes the guy special isn't that he, like, understands that, like, transparency is key or whatever. It's that he understands how to take those concepts and turn them into something concrete, how to build something using them. And then we get people in our space who kind of parrot back stuff about transparency and openness and, you know, influence and all that kind of stuff. And it's missing the part that actually matters, which is how to actually use it and make it into something.
Right, right.
So that's just my little rant, but it kind of annoys me.
The article that I read on how clout got started, though, I just found it interesting how it went from, I think the guy maybe was sick or something, or he was between jobs, or for some reason he had a lot of free time. And he just started noticing, hey, my friends are talking about this. I wonder who else is talking about that. And, you know, who should I be listening to? It was really pretty interesting. You ought to track it down if you can, because it's kind of neat how he took his interest in something and then turned it into something that's probably worth some money.
Yeah, I'll shoot the link around on Facebook or something.
I'll track it down. It's pretty cool. All right, what are your scores, man?
I'll give the guy an 80 because he was entertaining, well-spoken, and just I thought he was kind of an interesting guy. Again, I think his score would have been much higher if he wasn't talking about clout the whole time.
Yep.
And I'll give Michael the same. I mean, it was okay. I mean, like, I just the subject matter isn't for me. And I will say one other thing. I think it's really tough talking to someone who went through an interview process or was looking for a job about why they got rejected and getting, like, the real answer. It's just, like, they don't know why they got rejected, or else they wouldn't have gotten rejected.
Yeah, it wasn't his clout score.
I don't know what it was, but I'm fairly certain it was more than just that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like Kathy Manis would like to have a team of lawyers figure it out, though, right, Kathy?
Good. And you know, it is a good question. How did he know it was his clout score? And if it was, it is illegal. It is illegal.
Who cares? Well, thanks, Dave. Where are you headed to, man?
Oh, just got a phone call I have to do. Conference
call. All right.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hope it goes well. See you, man.
Bye, all.
All right. Kathy Manis, the litigious Kathy Manis.
I actually am not. I agree with David. I
would you seriously sue somebody for not hiring you?
No, I personally wouldn't. But OFCCP is so huge right now and has been for years. And, you know, most corporate recruiters have to spend probably 60% of their day documenting for OFCCP compliance. You know, that big companies have to be aware of that. And there's some huge corporations that have paid, you know, tens of millions of dollars for something like this. So, no, I personally wouldn't. But I think that, you know, clout, I mean, I don't understand it. I don't like it. I think it's ridiculous. But it looks like it's making a name. And it's somehow, you know, how do I put it? Somehow influencing a job offer or an airline ticket or who gets what. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So anyway, I give them both like a 75. I thought it was average.
Average. Jeez.
Hey, guys, Fleek here.
Chris Fleek.
So you're going to have a beer with him, Chris?
I would have a beer with the guy.
Yeah, he's a nice
enough guy.
I like him, too. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, he seemed like a good guy, sure.
Yeah. Was that Kathy Manis that was just talking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't you tell by her accent?
You know, Kathy, your point
about... I'm sorry, Kathy.
people getting perks based on clout scores, you know, I get that there's sort of a, you know, guy behind the curtain kind of a thing going on there. But the reality is, if somebody has a lot of Twitter followers, for example, and I was a business, I would try to go out of my way to not only give them good service, but also maybe encourage them to tweet about that experience. You know, for example, I'll be going to Vegas here in a few weeks, and the property that I'm staying at is very engaged in Twitter. And I have been tweeting back and forth with that person over the last, you know, couple of months, I guess. And I'm quite literally fishing for an upgrade. Because
because
I'm showing them that I'm going to tweet about my experience afterwards.
Absolutely. You're a consumer and you're advertising for them afterwards.
Yeah. Well, it'd be worth your time, though, really, Chris, to instead of faking this relationship with this person you don't even know, just spend the extra $100 a night and knock it out. I mean, really?
That's room service for a night. Come on. Don't you want both?
That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think it's, you know, it's okay, but yeah, to your point, Kathy, is what's that score based on? You know, how are people getting there? And gosh, is that really a source that I would want the person behind the counter looking at to say, oh, this guy's worthy, but this person isn't?
Right. Or is he qualified enough?
Right.
Is he the qualified?
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'll try to track down this article that I read.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I read a magazine called Wired.
That's what he was in. He was interviewed in that, Sammy was.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Yep.
Boy, did you not listen to the introduction thing?
No, sometimes I'm in the middle of other stuff.
Oh, okay, fine. All right.
You know, I doze off here and there.
Hey,
so
I
maybe Sammy was in the article that I read about.
He was?
Isn't that what you just said?
Yeah, I know. He was in Wired. I don't know if he was in your article because I don't read Wired. Hell, I hardly can get to, you know, Twitter.
Wired is a cool magazine for just, you know, young hipsters like me.
Oh, then I'm definitely not interested. I'm not a young hipster.
Yeah, pick it up next time you're at an airport or something, Fleek. You'll like it.
Yeah, we'll do. So
Wired.
Yeah, quick, two words. When you think of Jerry Albright, what are those two words?
Controversial.
Young hipster.
Yeah, right.
Now my son's a hipster. Jerry could be he could be an older hipster.
I'm surprisingly hip. I mean, I've got an online persona that really isn't accurately me.
You know what hipster is? Do you know what that is?
What?
Well, they're a younger generation that dresses very old school, kind of longer hair, but they're very intellectual and they love to have like these really controversial debates about politics and world affairs and where they're...
Yeah,
that is you. You're an older version of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fleek, what are your scores here?
You know, I'm going to give a couple of 78s today.
Huh.
It felt uninspired.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the questions. I liked the answers. Guy was a good guy. But just there, it was lacking something, and I don't know what it was.
I agree. It was. I think it was a finesse.
It was just flat. I think it's because we all sit here and think, you know, clout sucks. I mean, in the larger context of things, just like, you know, Empire Avenue, that was a huge thing. And everybody's talking about Empire Avenue, and pretty soon it's like, do you all know how stupid that is? Clout, though, you know, I saw it differently after I read and understood a little bit more about how it works. I can see where it's a tool that guy sells to. He sells access to all that, some specific data to corporate America, people with products to sell.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, capturing that much information is pretty cool. And doing something with it and telling companies, hey, these 50 people, you might send them a bag of Fritos or something. Or, you know, send them a new album when it comes out. Or, you know, just pay attention to them.
Yep.
Anybody else with a score?
Hmm.
Cora. Cora.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I got one. I give Animal a 79. I think he did pretty good. It got a little slow sometimes, but I don't think people were as interested in enough for a whole hour, you know, in clout. And I think Sammy did a good job, so I'd have to give him, you know, an 81 maybe, because he did a good job. Tough thing to keep an hour of, you know, real excitement about clout when a lot of people aren't that, you know, don't view it as being the end all.
Mm-hmm.
So, not bad. I mean, it was interesting. I'm really going to try in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to follow everyone and try to do some talking, seeing as my husband's out of town all the time, see if I can, you know, get my score up over 29.
You know, I tell you, every once in a while, I'll, like, go on vacation or be away from Twitter and Facebook for a couple of weeks or even a week, and to see how fast your clout score will drop.
Mm-hmm.
It really shows you how it's almost like being a hamster on one of those wheels to get your score even up at all.
Yeah.
Don't even worry about it.
No. I just thought I would try. Like he said, he did these things. I'm going to try, obviously not to his extent because I'm not looking for a new job, but you know I've got 4 nights a week where my husband's gone, so it's easy for me to. While I'm watching the baseball game to kind of play around and see. I'm going to try it out and see what happens.
All right.
With my luck, I'll probably
Cora,
get offered
the lonely housewife, trying stuff out to see what happens.
Yeah, well, you know, that
okay.
way I might find out that it's good. Who knows?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
Maureen.
I'm going to give the guy 95 for his naivety.
See, once again, proving
naivety.
That your scores
that
are just.
Great. Loved it.
Yeah, I'm going to give him a 95 for his naivety, and I'm going to give an Animal as low score to him. I'm going to give him a 60 for not calling him out on it.
Really?
Yeah, I think Animal could have called him out on it.
Yeah, that's kind of true. That he could have. Yeah.
So
yeah,
Animal,
he was being awful.
Animal
to
came
your...
down in my estimation today.
Yeah,
he what?
Came down off that perch.
He said he had somebody in the studio with him. Maybe that made a difference.
Oh,
I didn't hear that. Okay. No.
Said it at the beginning of the show.
Still.
My
maybe
memory.
It was his
have a good
mother,
memory.
How he is around his father. He's nicer.
Okay, who else has a score? Anybody?
You?
Yeah, I'll give the guy, you know, I thought he did okay with... See, I think sometimes Animal drags people onto his show where it's not his fault that his main topic was I drove up my clout score.
Yeah.
So you can't blame that guy for the topic. I mean, the topic was obviously what Animal was looking for. I thought he handled it well. I'll give him an 80. Animal, you know, he should have done a little more research to find something at least controversial, or he did not really uncover anything. It was almost like Animal is a union guy just putting in his last couple of years so he can retire and get, you know, a lifelong pension. I don't think Animal's heart was in it.
You mean he's
going to
be able to retire from this radio show?
Yeah, hadn't you heard? Yeah.
And he's going to be. He makes that much money off the show?
Oh, millions. You heard all the new advertisers on there lately?
Yeah, I did.
Buck a piece, that adds up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's true.
Anybody have any final thoughts before we get off the phone? Anybody? Anybody? All right, well, I got to get to work. It's been a crazy day.
Gary, I want your opinion. What do you think of the whole Facebook debacle? I mean, everybody's tweeting about what's going on with the IPO.
I'll tell you what I think about it. I think it's awesome. I think that people are finally over time going to realize that, you know, Facebook should not be a $100 billion company.
Right.
To be valued more highly than Apple or Microsoft. Facebook?
But what about all the insider information that they're finding out people are had gotten? I mean, do you think it's going to be like the fall of Zuckerberg?
No, but, you know, you could take Zuckerberg out of the equation and Facebook will still be fine. I mean, it's
oh, wait,
about
is his wife leaving him yet over this?
I think she'll hang in there for at least 7 years so she can get, you know, a good amount of support.
Is it 7 years or $7 billion? What is it?
If she's in California, if she's with him 10 years, she's got it made.
Oh, okay. Is that what?
And she's only 27, so by the time she's 37, she can start a new life.
Well, she's got.
She might be done with her degree by then too.
This is true.
That's true.
I bet she is done with her degree, though.
Well, done with her residency, her internships, and post-residency, and yeah.
You know, I have to say though, I like Facebook on my cell phone now. Whatever this new release of the mobile version is, the last month or so, I like it. I'm afraid though now that people think Facebook is just all about taking Instagram pictures. Like, I don't need to see everywhere you are right now. Because, A, I don't even know you. B, if I want to see a picture of a nice ice cream sundae or a cat, you know, but, I mean, they make it easy to show everybody pictures of, you know, the shrubs you're putting in and just all the different stuff I see on there.
Well, you know what's scary now is, like, did you notice if you read an article that it tells who's read what? Like, I just read an article. You're probably going to see it. And I don't necessarily want you to see what article I'm reading.
Here,
yeah, that's
this
pretty
is really
weird.
Funny. So this is kind of amusing from that perspective. Anytime you do it, if you set your privacy options correctly on Facebook, it will specifically tell you that it wants the permission to do it. So you have a button that says, go to the article. That's giving them permission to publish it. If it's Yahoo or Washington Post, I always see what the article's called, and as soon as I see that, I say, yeah, no, that's not going to happen. I close it down, and I go look up the article on Washington Post directly.
Yeah, directly.
And then it doesn't tell you anything. Yeah.
See, but I still see articles showing up or different stuff showing up that I did not okay to show up on there.
I know. Yeah. It bothers me.
Are we talking like porn sites, Jerry?
No. I was just going to read about these two sisters that are prostitutes, and they're 79 years old. Now, do you think I want that plastered all over Facebook?
Wow.
No.
I hope not.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, it's just plastered all over the radio show now.
Yeah.
Oh, I know,
right. 79-year-old prostitutes and the word plaster just doesn't go together. So.
goodness. Well,
they were twins. They were twins, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes a big difference.
Just yesterday when I was signing up for an Instagram account, because I do like some of the picture lenses that it has on there. One of the options is, and it's automatically set to be checked, is allow application to access your personal data at any time. And most people just hit the okay button on there, but isn't that just amazing that people are just saying, yeah, yeah, access all my personal info.
Yeah,
have
I think Foursquare is
I like
amazing.
Your free little picture frame application.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you really read into it, you know, with your iPod and you know, if you have your iPod set to do, you know, like Apple Music or whatever, actually you already owe your, like, firstborn son. And, you know, when you die, you bequeath your estate to Apple. And
right.
I mean, if you go through all that stuff, I mean, no one ever reads any of that stuff. So.
Crazy.
So what about Foursquare? If you're a single woman and you say, hey, I'm out partying at this bar, well, they know that you're not home, you know, that you're not home. They can break into your house and wait for you. I mean,
Foursquare is the stupidest thing I've ever seen anybody involved in.
I will not. do it.
Did you see this other one? What's the one that they were talking about in California? It actually has a sensor that you put into a bar, and it actually will recognize the type of people via facial recognition when you walk into a bar.
Right.
And then it posts online, so you can go and look at this bar. This bar is at 90% occupancy.
Right.
47% of them are men. 52% of them are women. But they claim they're not storing that information.
That's just so wrong in so many different ways. Wow.
I've thought that Foursquare was ridiculous from the first time I saw people posting that they just checked in at Pizza Hut.
I'm the mayor of my local laundromat.
Okay, guys, I got to run, but you're all free to continue talking and do whatever you want to do with
Jerry,
the rest
though,
of your day.
One thing. Jerry, the picture you did post of your daughter is adorable, but make it upright so we can see it right.
Oh, I then deleted that because it was sideways. It was stupid.
Yeah, but she's a darling, so you should repost it.
Cool. Thank you.
Anna, Indiana.
Yeah.
Anna from Indiana. Okay, see y'all. Later.
All right, bye.
See everybody. Thanks.
You have an entry there that you gave the wrong title to. I would call it White Boy Lost in the Blues, because here's how you start it out. You say, have you ever noticed that the director of diversity in most companies is very rarely a white guy? You might think that I'm just another white guy with a chip on my shoulder, but when it comes to listening to a different drummer, white guys are diverse too. So you want to talk about that?
Yeah, basically, you know, if you look at diversity programs in America and the role of diversity director, there's very, very few of those positions are white guys.
Yeah, but what you're arguing here, come on, Ed, what you're arguing is diverse thinking. If you're sort of an offbeat guy, if you take the road not taken, that's your thing.
Yeah.
Here's how his about page starts off by saying, you know the Robert Frost poem, The Road Not Taken, right? He says, I like to zig when other people zag. He likes to think of himself as a different kind of thinker. And he thinks that that kind of person should be part of diversity programs. That's not what diversity is for. Come on, Ed. You are a white guy with a chip on your shoulder. I just wanted to tell you that, okay?
No. If you look at diversity, dude,
Don't call me dude. Call Jerry dude.
All right, animal. If you look at diversity and the programs in the U.S., it's all around compliance and meeting the old affirmative action, but it's now packaged under this thing called diversity, and there's supposed to be some business case around if you have diverse thinking, you're going to be a better business. But nobody really focuses on that crap. They focus on, you know, how do we have a diverse candidate? Are they black? Are they Hispanic? Is it a woman? They don't consider a white guy who might have a completely different view on things as being valuable to bring some diverse thought into
I totally agree. I'm with you.
Yeah, but it doesn't belong in a program.
That's right on the money.
It doesn't belong in a government program.
But that's supposed to be a government program anymore. I mean, the whole movement from affirmative action to diversity and inclusion was to get away from being this government-driven thing. It's not about quotas anymore.
That's not true. Wake up. Come on. You were with Corn
Ferry. That was my point. That's my point of the post is that you're right. That's not true. But it should be.
We're going to rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. We're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue.